First StoryCorps founder Dave Isay just won the 2015 TED Prize of $1 million with the wish to enable people around the globe to share their life stories. Many of you have heard StoryCorps stories on NPR's Morning Edition. These are personal, often thought-provoking conversations by people who want to record, share, and preserve their life story. When Dave Isay opened that first StoryCorps booth 12 years ago, he didn't dream that these individual conversations would become the world's largest collection of human voices ever recorded. Now he wants to use his million-dollar TED Prize to help him bring StoryCorps to the rest of the world. And he joins us now. Dave, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Veronica. Nice to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations. How does it feel to win that big TED Prize?
It's great. I mean, I have to confess that it was a little bit out of the blue, and I was, I think, the last person on the face of the earth who had never watched a TED Talk when they called me to tell me this, but it's been fantastic. And, I gave a TED Talk last week that went live yesterday where I announced this wish for the $1 million, and basically what we've done is created an app, which is available now, and you can use this app. You know, as you said, StoryCorps started in Grand Central, and it's always been two people who come to a booth with the help of a facilitator and record a story, and then it goes to the Library of Congress. And this app is kind of a digital facilitator, so now people can do StoryCorps anytime, anywhere, and record it on their cell phone, and with one tap, put it up into the Library of Congress. So it's exciting. It's really cool.
Well, let's talk about that new StoryCorps app. So how can, you know, your smartphone, whatever, help you have that deep, original, interesting conversation the way a regular facilitator would in person?
Well, that's a good question. We don't know yet because this is so new. It is kind of amazing to see the stories that are, you know, coming up on the phone. People are using it on this app. I mean, it's not the exact same experience, but hopefully we approximate it closely enough so that people can have a really good experience. I mean, you want to find a quiet room, and the app, you know, really walks you very, as a facilitator would, through the experience. It gives you our question generator, so it gives you the questions to ask, and you choose how long you want to record for. A traditional StoryCorps interview is always 40 minutes, but we know that with a cell phone, people may not want to go that long, so I think you can choose 40 or 25 or 15, and then we encourage people, if they've jumped in at 15, to keep going once that 15 minutes is up, because we know that that 15 minutes is really just kind of the warm-up time. And then, you know, if you're in a quiet room and you're listening, you know, with respect and closely and you know, are curious, then amazing things are going to happen. We know that. One of the things we're seeing in the very, you know, the first hours of this is that people aren't holding the cell phone as close to the mouth of the person as they should be. So, as you know, with miking, you want to, the mic on a cell phone is on the bottom of the phone, and you want to hold it about one hand's length, spread out hand's length away from the person, whoever's speaking, you or the person you're interviewing. And other than that, it's kind of amazing what's happening.
So what kinds of stories have you gotten so far?
Well, I haven't had time to check since yesterday, but I'm actually looking at a list that came to me. There's a retired man in Colorado is interviewed by an unexpected friend, his Uber driver, about his late wife and the life they built together. A young Canadian boy asks his father questions from the StoryCorps app and learns how his grandfather ran a dry goods store above the Arctic Circle. Hmm. And so on and so forth. I mean, it's very different than what we're used to. It's really kind of a beautiful thing to behold.
You must be so excited to see these stories, come in from around the world.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just starting. I mean, it's just out. But we've had, we've had hundreds of stories come in and tens of thousands of downloads on the app. And, you know, the dream with this is it's just kind of StoryCorps writ large, and you know what we hope to do is have people, you know, give people the opportunity to have these meaningful conversations and connect with one another and help us remember, you know, what's really important. And you know, and now kind of collect the StoryCorps has always been kind of a wisdom collection project, and I think what's going to happen now is we have the opportunity to really collect the wisdom of humanity. So, you know, to me, the technology is the easy part, even though my team worked very, very hard over a very short period of time to develop this app, which is still a beta version. But the hard part is getting people to actually use it. And, you know, I'm hoping that that folks will pick it up and give it a whirl. It's, you know, it's hard to have these conversations, but, you know, no one, we've done tens and tens and tens of thousands of these, and nobody's ever regretted it.
We're talking right now with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay, talking specifically about the new StoryCorps app, which is being facilitated by Dave's recent win of the 2015 TED Prize. And you said that these stories that people collect, it's often like the final story that you really want to sum up your relationship with someone that will say the things you've always wanted to say, that you hold in your heart. Why is it that these things happen in StoryCorps stories?
Well, I mean, I think it's you know, what you hear on the radio are short excerpts from 40-minute interviews, and we do hundreds and hundreds of interviews for every story you hear on the radio. And each story we think of is equally valuable and hopefully an important, sometimes a sacred moment in people's lives. I think it's the formality of the interview process, knowing that it's going to go to the Library of Congress, and, you know, sitting there with all of your gadgets off, except now for your cell phone, which has to stay on, but hopefully you've turned your ringer off. And it's, you know, it's an opportunity, as you know, with a microphone to ask questions you don't normally get to ask. And people realize that this will be something that their great-great-great-great-great-grandkids may be listening to. You know, I talk about in the TED Talk how, you know, there is some similarities to, in some ways, what happens in hospice, I think, with StoryCorps. There's a hospice doctor named Ira Byock who wrote a book called, I think it's called The Things to Say Before You Die or something like that. And basically, he talks about the four things that you want to say to the people you love before you die or they die, which are thank you, I love you, forgive me, I forgive you. And in many cases, that's what happens in a StoryCorps interview. Now, hopefully, you know, people aren't actively dying when they're having this conversation, but it's an opportunity to say those important things and almost have a sense of closure with the people who matter to you. It's kind of profound, and it's incredibly important. I mean, that's, you know, it's about, you know, kind of a deep connection with people who matter to you.
And we want to give an example of just the kind of stories that have come out of StoryCorps. And here's one that you played in your recent TED Talk that means a lot to you, too. It's a conversation between O'Shea Israel and the woman, Mary Johnson, whose son he killed. Could you set that story up for us a bit?
Sure. I think we'll probably hear a very brief cut. But this is one of those extraordinary kind of conversations that's happened in StoryCorps. This is a young man who 15 years ago murdered a man named Laranium Bird. They were both teenagers, gang members. And he went to the penitentiary. He was the only son, Laranium Bird, of a woman named Mary Johnson. And about a dozen years into O'Shea Israel's sentence, she went to the penitentiary to find out who this young man was who had murdered her son. And slowly and almost, well, surprisingly, they developed a friendship. And when he was released, when he was freed from the penitentiary, he actually moved in next door to her. And they came to StoryCorps shortly thereafter to talk about their friendship.
And here's a clip from that story.
You and I met at Stillwater Prison. I wanted to know if you were in the same mindset of what I remember from court, where I wanted to go over and hurt you, but you were not that 16-year-old. You were a grown man. I shared with you about my son.
And he became human to me. You know, when I met you, it was like, okay, this guy is real. And then when it was time to go, you broke down and started shedding tears. And the initial thing to do was just try to hold you up as best I can. Just hug you like I would my own mother, you know.
StoryCorps conversations are usually between family members, between friends. How often do you hear a conversation between people who are on different sides of something or who have come together like that after breaching a big divide?
We've had every possible, the StoryCorps, classic StoryCorps interviews, we've done about 65,000 of these with more than 100,000 people all across the country, 50 states, thousands of cities, 5 years old to 105, across the political spectrum. We've had every permutation of conversation you can imagine. I mean, a lot of them are intergenerational. It's someone, because it's hard to get a reservation at our booths, it's someone interviewing someone who they care about a lot because they're only going to get one shot at it in a booth. You'll sometimes have conversations like this one. You'll very rarely have two people come to have a conversation who actually don't get along. And that's not really the purpose of StoryCorps. You know, when I launched it all those years ago in Grand Central Terminal, a dozen years ago almost, I had fears of, you know, Jerry Springer kind of conversations happening in the booth and people accusing and revealing and pulling out guns. I didn't know what. You know, I lost quite a few nights of sleep worrying about it. But, you know, 65,000 interviews later, every single person who's come to StoryCorps has treated it with respect. And I'm hopeful, even though the internet, you know, tends to, it seems sometimes bring out the worst in us, I'm hoping that that'll hold true for this app as well.
We're talking about the personal stories that make us human. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you recorded a StoryCorps conversation, or would you like to? What do you think about the power of the story, maybe to change lives? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. He just won the 2015 TED Prize, hopes to use that prize to take StoryCorps to the world. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. And do you have a story that you'd love to record for posterity? Tell us about it by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. Dave Isay stays with us now. He's the founder of StoryCorps. And we go first to Steve in Evansville. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Veronica. About a year ago, I did an interview with my mother and recorded that. It was about an hour-long interview, and it was really a positive experience. I enjoyed doing it. When I started out, I hadn't really told my mom about it ahead of time. I just kind of sprung it on her that day and you know, asked her if she'd be interested in doing that, and she agreed. And so I had a list of questions and went through those, and I learned a lot of things about her childhood that I never knew, and even about her in adulthood, things that I didn't know. So and then after that, I shared it with a couple of my siblings already. My one sister said that when she listened to it, she was alternating between laughing and crying as she listened to the interview.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that experience, Steve. I want to ask you about the crying part, Dave, because you say that people cry a lot when they listen to these StoryCorps stories, and not necessarily because they're sad. Why is that?
Yeah, and they also cry when they're doing the interviews. I think it isn't because they're sad. I think it's because we're... other than in public radio, we're surrounded by so much kind of phoniness, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what's a commercial. And with StoryCorps, it's just two people. It's an act of generosity. It's two people having an authentic conversation with each other. Very often, we're hearing stories about everyday people living lives of courage and decency and generosity. And, you know, you're kind of walking on holy ground, I think, when you hear those kind of stories. It's a little bit like the opposite of reality TV. I talk about this in the TED Talk. No one comes to StoryCorps to get rich. No one comes to get famous. It's an act of love and an act of generosity. And also, the power of audio and the power of voice and the power of radio, it's so intimate. It's like an adrenaline shot right to the heart. And also, the voice, you can't fake it. You know, you can tell if something's authentic or something's phony. And there's something obviously very, very authentic happening in these conversations.
And you said one of the things that you took away is the knowledge that people are basically good. How did StoryCorps tell you that? Because I would think the potential, as you said, to open the mic, anything could happen. You could hear stuff you didn't want to hear. And yet that's what you came away with. People are basically good.
Yeah, I think what I came away with after 10 years of 11 years of StoryCorps is I'm much more hopeful. The facilitators who are the on-the-ground StoryCorps employees who are there present for every interview up until yesterday when, you know, the app came out. When they come back off the road doing hundreds or thousands of interviews and you ask them what they've learned, you know, the first thing they'll say is that people are basically good. And, you know, I think that you might have said early on that, you know, people were kind of selecting, self-selecting, coming to the booth. But we've done so many interviews now with so many people, as I said, across the country, across the political spectrum. At this point, with this collection being so enormous, I think you've got to think that there's some, you know, truth to what the facilitators are saying. The other thing that the facilitators will say that they've learned is that you can never judge someone's internal life by how they're dressed or what they look like. And if you do that, you're always going to be mistaken.
Hmm. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the potential of this app that just came out. You're going to use some of your TED Prize money for this. You've got some really cool ideas about how you think this app could be used on a global scale. And one of them, and I thought this was a really amazing idea, was that you would, when someone hit their 70th birthday, you say maybe in Europe or in Africa, a new tradition develops around the app where they get an interview recorded where they can reflect on their life and what they've learned. Tell us about that one.
Yeah. This is moving so quickly. And I should say, this is the first call-in show that I've done since the app came out. So if anybody, I know we don't have much time left, but if anybody has anything that they want to let me know about the app, it's a good time to call in because I haven't had a chance to have those conversations yet. Yeah, you know, I was just kind of throwing out ideas of how this could be used and how we can start integrating StoryCorps into our lives, you know. And, you know, the dream with StoryCorps is so aligned with what public broadcasting is about. It's about civil conversation and recognizing the dignity and beauty and poetry and the stories all around us when we take the time to listen, learning about listening, you know, and trying to move the needle on making us a more, it's up till now, compassionate and thoughtful, you know, country that treats every life and every story with dignity. And now I guess it's global. I threw out the idea of traditions around the world where someone at 75 is interviewed for StoryCorps, which would be great. I mean, the thing, we're going to focus still domestically for a while. And one idea that we have, which I haven't taken forward yet, but I think we're going to try and do, is that over Thanksgiving this coming year, we're going to see if we can get the whole country to do a kind of a national homework assignment where every high school kid who's in U.S. history interviews a grandparent or another elder over Thanksgiving, so that in a single weekend, an entire generation of Americans can be honored in this way. So it's, you know, obviously this app opens up so many opportunities that just weren't there before. It's really exciting.
We're talking with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay about the new StoryCorps app and also the power of storytelling. If you've got some feedback on this app already, or you want to share your own story about interviewing someone, maybe being interviewed, you can call us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And let's listen to a little bit more. This is also from your TED Talk. This is 12-year-old Joshua Littman, who has Asperger's syndrome, interviewing his mother, Sarah.
Did I turn out to be the son you wanted when I was born? Like, did I meet your expectations?
You've exceeded my expectations, sweetie. Because, you know, sure, you have these fantasies of what your child's going to be like, but you have made me grow so much as a parent because you think...
Well, I was the one who made you a parent.
You were the one who made me a parent. That's a good point. But also because you think differently from, you know, what they tell you in the parenting books.
Yeah.
I really had to learn to think out of the box with you. And it's made me much more creative as a parent and as a person.
There we heard a little of a conversation between 12-year-old Joshua Littman and his mother, Sarah. He's not so little anymore. He was all grown up and at your TED Talk with his mom. What does this story mean to you, Dave?
Well, I should say there's a little backstory to that also. It's a remarkable interview. And we showed an animated clip, actually, in the TED Talk. We've animated some of these StoryCorps stories. You know, it's it's just a very powerful conversation between two people, and is about kind of the power of love and the brilliance of this kid. You know, he had gotten, after the story ran on public radio, he received hundreds and hundreds of emails from public radio listeners. And, you know, kids with Asperger's often, you know, are picked on at school, and his mom bound that book, that those emails into a book, and they'd read them together when he came home from school and had been picked on. And, you know, in the TED Talk, I talk about my own story and how I had interviewed my dad a bunch of years ago, 10 years ago, and never thought about it until he was diagnosed with cancer and died very, very, very quickly. And I listened to it for the first time on the night that he died, and how this is the only way that my children are going to get to know this person who was such a towering figure in my life. And sadly, you know, Sarah and Josh were at the TED Talk, and as Sarah was flying home back to Connecticut, her mother died very suddenly as well. And she had recorded a StoryCorps interview with her mom and wrote to me when she got back that that was now the only record she had of her mom's life and how glad she was to have it. So that was a sad but kind of poignant reminder of the importance of seizing the day and having these conversations and doing these interviews with the people we care about.
As you said, your app is new. You've been out there talking about the power of stories for a long time, but what is your biggest dream for the potential of this new story collecting StoryCorps app?
Well, you know, I think about the you know, the famous Robert Kennedy Ripples of Hope quote, where he talks about tiny ripples of hope someday coming together and creating a kind of a tidal wave and making the world a better place. And, you know, that's what I hope, that it creates little ripples of connection, of hope, of compassion, and that it makes us, as I said earlier, a world that that gets along better and recognizes the value in every single life and every single story. I mean, personally, I used to do radio documentaries for public radio, and what excites me most is the idea of people going into, you know, senior centers or hospitals or maybe even prisons, you know, although that's a very difficult thing to do, armed with the app and you know, listening to and giving voice to people in our society who feel least heard and helping them recognize, you know, the value in their life and story. And that would be a dream of mine.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica. Great to talk to you. Be well.
We've been speaking with Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps and the 2015 TED Prize winner.